I want to encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me this morning to the last chapter of the book of Philippians. As you know, last year we finished up our study in the book of Philippians, and the Lord brought me back to the last chapter today because I've had the Lord emphasize some thoughts with me that I think are important for us as believers as we look at Faith Promise Giving Month, as we look at the testimony of God's Word. The book of Philippians was written to a church that was a giving church. They had supported the Apostle Paul in giving sacrificially, but he wanted them to do more. Now, some people get all bent out of shape whenever we start talking about giving, and so that's all preachers want to talk about, is giving. That's all preachers want to talk about. Well, that's not all that we want to talk about, but it is something that's covered in the Word of God. Amen? And I'm going to approach this subject from a little bit different angle this morning. And I've entitled this, We Can Do More Than We Think. Look at the picture for just a moment that's up on the screen. How many of you have been rolled over by a rock that big and that round sometime in life? I have to raise my hand. All right. I saw this image a few weeks ago, and I saved it so I could use it for the PowerPoint because I said, that looks like Todd Brainerd. But maybe he's a little more bulkier than I am. But that rock is pretty imposing, is it not? Yeah, pushing a huge stone up the side of a hill. And there are times in life when we feel like that we're just going to be bowled over by all the things that we're facing. I can't do anymore. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who strengtheneth me. I want us to look at verses 12 through verse 19 this morning, and I'm going to share with you four answers to the question, can I really do all things? And I'm going to put it in as a we. Can we really do all things through Christ? Now, I want you to listen carefully this morning because the Apostle Paul links this to giving. And I want you to see that here as we consider these verses. Notice verse 12 what he says to the church at Philippi. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Stop right there. Wow, what a testimony from the Apostle Paul. You were the only church when I was down in Macedonia. You were the only church that communicated with me in regards to what? Giving and receiving. Now, some people would just put a period there. Okay, don't worry about what the rest of the chapter has to say. Oh, no. I want you to see what he has to say to the church at Philippi. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Indeed, that's a better translation of rather than but. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Indeed, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to link in your thinking this morning, verse 13, with what follows. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And please do not let the familiarity of this particular verse cause you to go into ho-hum mode. Everybody know what I mean by ho-hum? Oh boy, another sermon on Philippians 4:13. No, it's not. I am going to emphasize something that links the we can do more than we think to giving. To giving. So that we may grow therein. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture, and I pray that you would open our hearts to the teaching that is found here. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. J.B. Phillips gives this very colorful rendering of this verse. I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives within me. Now get that. I am ready for anything. Are you ready for anything this morning? Well, there's a lot of things that come around the bend that we don't see coming. Who had thought that we'd be paying $7.99 for a dozen eggs? I don't know if you saw the meme this week on Facebook. Did you see the one where the wedding ring was given by the young man to his wife at the wedding? And what it was an egg mounted on the top of a ring. And that's what he gave her. It was hilarious to see. You'll have to look that up after church. Don't do it right now. Some of you are already pulling up your, I see that. But it's an egg sitting on top of the thing because they've gotten so expensive. Who would have thought? I talked to Nicole this week. Something I've never talked about. I said, where did you buy your chickens? Oh, you're going to get chickens? I'm thinking about it. My wife's not for it. Okay. But I am thinking about getting some chickens because the price of eggs are going up and up and up. Wait a minute. Am I ready for everything? Even expensive eggs. I love eggs. And whenever I go in there and I look at those very expensive round or oval things there, I say, wow, do I really want to make an omelet right now or do I want to save the eggs for something else? I've never thought that way before. I've never thought that. I just go get two eggs and I scramble them up. I add my milk, my salt and pepper and my cheddar cheese. Oh boy. I'm making some of you hungry right now. And I mix up my omelet, and I flip that thing over, let it cook for just a few moments, and then I slide it out, because I use olive oil, I slide it out onto my plate with my little sausages, Vermont maple syrup flavored sausages, okay? And I have my breakfast. But now I've got something staring me in the face. Those little eggs that were so cheap before, they're very expensive now. What happened to you guys? Why are you so much? We're dealing with inflation, all right? Because we're printing money like crazy and we're not backing it up with anything. So what does that do? It jacks up the price of everything. You know, things are getting more expensive. Can I really do all things through Christ? When the economy's not doing so hot? What's the answer, Christian? Yes. We can do more than we think. I want us to just focus on my first answer to this question. Can we really do all things? Answer number one. We can if we want to. All right? We can if we want to. You know, a lot of people have a can't problem, but it's not really a can't problem. It's a won't problem. Follow me now. I can't do more. I mean, look at the economy. I can't do more. God doesn't expect us to do any more. Well, that's moved from a can't to a won't. I heard one preacher said that in his counseling of individuals in his church and through the years, been in the ministry for over 40 years, he said, my problem has been trying to get people to change from the I can't to I won't, then I can help them. They say, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't. No, the problem is I won't do this, I won't do that. Number one, we can if we want to. Isn't it amazing, the human will? What can be done? I've read stories. I love reading about the history of our country, and I love reading about the heroes of World War II. And I've had several men added to the list. of individuals that did extraordinary things to save men, to fight for our country. And I thank the Lord for every one of them, but it came at great personal cost. Great personal cost. Men who flew airplanes back from bombing Germany and coming back to England with no back wing. They just did it by feathering their things for that long flight. And when they got, they had to be pulled out of the cockpit because their hands were just shaking from the flight. Some of them passed out after they landed the plane because of the stress that was on them. They got their guys back. They landed the plane. They accomplished their mission. Sheer willpower. But I want to tell you something. Willpower is not enough. We can do more because we've got a Savior that helps us do more. Amen? I can do all things through Christ. We can do more if we want to. We've got to come to the recognition that we got to get can't out of our vocabulary. I just can't do that. I can't do that. No, what you're saying is I won't do that. I've reached my limits on my comfort zone. I won't do any more. God wants us to rest in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that means in all things. It's easy to rest in Christ whenever we can sit there and control and manipulate from the back seat. How many of you are backseat drivers? Anybody here? Admit it. Come on. Put your hands up. Backseat drivers, don't you love them? You're going five over. I know. You're going 10 over. I know. And then you feel the seat behind you. Slow down. All right? Now, whenever I was learning how to drive, we had an enormously long station wagon, okay, a Ford LTD. It was a color that they just did away with. I forget, it was called a kind of a greenish, yellowish kind of color. Some of you may remember that when the Brainerds drove around for years and years. And I remember I got my license, 16. I'm driving everybody to school. Mom's sitting over there in the assisted driving seat. And I backed the station wagon out. And we started down Lee Street. We lived on a dead-end street. And we were going down the road, and this little VW bug just whips out in front of us. I hit the brakes and brought us to a successful start. Before I could get the car stopped, my mom was already out of the car. And I watched her as she walked around the front. What's Mom doing? Mom, what are you doing? I rolled down the window. What are you doing? Move over. What did I do? What did I do? You should have come to a safer stop. I will never forget that. That's lingered in my mind. What is a safer stop when somebody pulls out in front of you? That big old station wagon, I brought it down. It stopped. Nobody was hurt. The little VW Beetlebug took off. And my mom's walking in front of the car over to the side. I had told everybody at school I was driving to school. And we arrived at the high school and Mama was driving. You know how embarrassing that is? Todd, I thought you got your license. I did. Just drop it. Yeah. I hate VW Beetlebugs to this day. When I see one, memories cloud my mind of that day. And she said, in 1 week, I'll let you do it again. That was the longest week on record for me. Hey, Mom, can we short it up a little bit? Nope, 1 week. I told you 1 week. You scared me to death. Okay. Now, wow. I said, but I successfully stopped our station wagon. Nobody was killed. All right, I'm sorry that I scared you, Mom, but we stopped the car. 1 week later, okay. When you brake, you do it easily. So I don't get thrown up into the front of the hood whenever you put on brakes. I said, all right, Mom. All right, Mom. Well, I was able to convince her that I was a good driver and was able to, I had no accidents on my record all through high school. I've only been in one accident. I hate to even say this because it may happen another one today. I've only been in one accident. It wasn't my fault. I was hit from behind. Lord was good. Now, my point in this is that sometimes we think we've got it, but we really don't. I thought, I'm a good driver. I've got control of this thing. We stopped. It was how we stopped that made an impact on my mom. And that's why I had to wait a whole other week before I could drive again. Now, we can do more, all right, if we want to. And so I'm posing this question this morning. This is a matter of personal desire. Do we want to do more? Do we want to go beyond what we've done in the past? Is it possible for you and I to do all things through Christ? Yes. Yes. But we have to want to. We have to want to. Number two. This is one that I think needs to be emphasized greatly. We can do all things if God wants us to. Let me ask you something. Does God want us to fund missionaries to go out and give His gospel all around the world? What's the answer? Where's the money going to come from? That church down the street, they're going to do it. Oh, no, 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 no. Whoa, just a moment. Right here. We're going to. God wants us to. God wants us to, and He supplied all the means for us to do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, or who strengthens me. Are these just words on a piece of paper? Or are they God's words to us? We can do more if God wants us to. This is what I call divine direction. Divine direction. How many of you have ever been given directions and you thought at first, that can't be right, and then it turned out to be right? You know, I the early days of GPS were kind of trying for all of us, right? How many of you remember the big Walmart fold-out, you know, the big atlas that you carried around in your car? You never could find a place to put it. You tried to put it under the seat, but then they put all these contraptions underneath the seat with motors and stuff like that, and that big old atlas just wouldn't fit. And so you had to try to find it. The trunk was probably the best place to put it, if you had a trunk. Those things were enormous. And you went through there, and you picked out the states you were going to travel through, and you highlighted the roads that you were going to go. And you had your whole trip planned out except for one thing. You didn't know about all the road construction that was going on. Then they came out with GPS. Woo! Man, this is great! How many of you went out and bought the GPS things that mounted in your car when you first got? This is before the days where it came with it, right? Where your car came with GPS, and that's kind of nice today. But back in those days, you had to go get a Garmin, or what was the other one that was out there? There was another brand that was out there. What? Magellan, yeah. Remember those from the past? And you put those things up there, and you had the big wire that was plugged into the side of it, and you had it plugged in to your cigarette lighter, and you hit the button, all right? And you said, all right, now we're going down the road. And you went down the road. Oh, that's so neat. There's a body of water nearby. And you saw the little blue creek or the lake or whatever, and you went by. But guess what? You had to go and update it on your computer before you went on your trips because it didn't automatically update. That was back in the old days. We are so retro this morning, right? And then they came up with the auto-updated GPSs. But how many of you have been sent on a wild goose chase by GPS? Let me ask the airline pilot here. Did you ever go on a wild goose chase by GPS that gave wrong information? Never an airplane. Whew, I'm glad to know that. I feel better. Yeah, you don't want to. There's some things that you don't tell, right? That's right. Keep it a secret. Yeah. Yeah, never in an airplane, only in an automobile. Years ago, we had the kids. We were going up to South Carolina. We were going to go and visit some location, and we got turned around. The GPS was telling us to go. We were down dirt roads. Then we were down cattle paths. And then before long, so we're going to turn around and try to figure our way out. And so we turned around, and then it took us down cattle paths and all kinds of stuff. We finally made it out after spending a whole hour being directed by wrong information. I had not updated the GPS. Okay? Today, everything is auto. We walk around with our phones, and it tells us where we are. And if you lose this rascal, there's ways to find it with GPS. Isn't that neat? If you leave it somewhere, whatever, you can find it through all the different things that they've got available. I don't even know all the different things you can do with our phones today. I'm not really wanting to learn them, to be honest with you. But, you know, you can do most things today that you couldn't do years ago. You remember when they first built the roads in the United States? How many of you remember the Lincoln Highway? Come on now, nobody's raising their hand. The Lincoln Highway, the first major highway east to west in the United States. Some of you were sleeping during history class during that time. And people in their Model Ts were going to drive the Lincoln Highway all the way out west. The only problem was there weren't any side roads off that main highway. So when you left that paved road, you were in the dirt, all right? And you were doing all kinds of things to be able to get back to that major highway. Can you imagine what it was like with no maps? All right? All you saw was the Lincoln Highway all the way out to the West Coast. Nothing on diversionary roads or things of that nature. Well, you talk about having to trust in something that you couldn't control. But I want you to know something this morning. The answer to the question is, we can do more than we think. Can I do all things through Christ? Can we do all things through Christ? We can if God wants us to. God wants us to. Trust in Him. Rely upon Him. Here's the third one. Answer number three. We can if we rely on the Lord. God wants us to, but I have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Am I going to rely on the Lord? How many of you remember the old story about the little engine that could? All right. That's a fun story. And it all begins where they were trying to find a locomotive that would pull the weight over the top of the mountain to the other side. And all the other locomotives said, not me. I'm not doing it. And then this one little engine stepped up and said, I think I can. And so the whole story is, That engine going up the hill, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. All right? And finally he makes it over the top. Now there's just one problem with that story. All right? It's a problem because God didn't say, I want you to think you can. He said, I want you to rely on me because I can. All right? I can. You see, the will factor, we talked about the want to, on the first one, our will has to be submitted to His will. And then once it is, God supplies all the power to take you and carry you wherever you need to go. It's an amazing thing to think about. That God has not only told us He wants us to do it, but He's supplied the power in order for you to be able to do it. I can do all things through Christ. We can do more than we think. We say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, we really should be saying, I won't do that. I don't want to do it. But if you come under the domination of the will of God, He will at that moment supply you with all the power you need to be able to do what He's told you to do. That's a glorious principle that's not often taught in the church today. That God will supply you with everything you need to do if you will buckle your will to His and let Him take charge. The problem is we don't like that because God may require us to do something that we don't want to do. Because I've got plans. I got things I want to do with that. Oh no, wait. Submit yourself to the will of God. He'll help you to do what you need to do because He'll supply you with all the power. This is divine enablement. Giving you what you need in order to do what He wants you to do. God will do that. And then there's a fourth thought here that I think that's very, very important. It's a very important principle that oftentimes gets forgotten, and that is we can do all things through Christ if we start right now and press forward. We are, by nature, procrastinators. We procrastinate. We put things off. I don't need to worry about that today. We put things off, and then that day shows up, and you're not ready. You're not prepared. God doesn't want us to procrastinate. The most trouble that we get into in life is when we put off things that we ought to do. All right? It's like April the 15th. Anybody know the significance of that day? What happens on April the 15th, Jack? That's whenever you empty your pocketbook, right? Tax day. All right? How many are thinking, right now, I'm going to do my taxes tomorrow? What? Nobody? Yeah. That's something. I've got to pay, so I'm going to put it off until the last minute. Now, it's interesting that people who are going to get money back, they want to file taxes right now. They've already done it. But if I have to pay, it's off out in the future somewhere. We procrastinate. Young people do that at school. History fair this past Friday. It was just overwhelming. Some of the students waited until the day of. Okay? And, Miss Eva, can you run paperwork for us? I got to get this up on my board. They waited to the last possible minute. Procrastination. That's human nature. Is that good? Oh. We ought to be thinking ahead and planning ahead and getting the work done ahead so that when the day gets here, it's all done. I can enjoy the day. So many times, folks, we get in our spiritual lives in this rut of procrastination. I'll do that some other time. I'll trust the Lord some other time. There'll be other times that'll come up. I'll trust the Lord. I've got this one. How foolish. Note, please, that this is a personal choice right here. That I'm going to get on it and start right now and not put it off and go forward. I think about this thought in this regard. There are three rules of spiritual progress that are given in the previous chapter, chapter 3. I did these back when we did our study. But I want you to notice, please, in verses 12 through 14 of chapter 3, where it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's certainly worthy. When are we going to get with it? When are we going to get on it? That's like somebody that says, back on January 1st, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. All right? January 5th goes by. You step up on the scales. Oh, looky! I lost 1 pound. All right? Now, you were barefoot that time. The previous time, you had your shoes on. Okay? Isn't it amazing how people do that? They'll start out, they'll take their weight, and then they start shedding clothes. Oh, I've lost 3 pounds. Yeah, that's baloney. I want you to see these three principles here. Number one, we can't go back. What did Paul tell the church at Philippi? Forget those things which are behind. Some people love living in the past. Every thought is related to the past. Let me tell you something, folks. There are a lot of people that live with the past hung around their neck and it becomes a weight and besetting sin. We can't go back. Not only that, but these verses tell us that we can't stay here. We get content where we are. I'm talking about spiritually. We get content where we are. I'm doing pretty good. No big deal. I've made it this far. I don't have to have my devotions as often. I haven't been doing it for months now. Everything's okay. Is it really? Is it really? But he mentioned in his email that he sent out about his condition that he did not realize that he had something that was growing on his back. He said, just recently I started experiencing the pain, but there was a lesion that was developing into a tumor on his backbone. He didn't know it was there. You know, sometimes folks, whether it be a physical issue or a spiritual issue, there are things going on that you don't pay any attention to or you don't know is going on. You don't know what's going on. There was a gentleman that I was talking to recently who lost a loved one and said they went to their dying day and they did an autopsy and found that that person had been eaten up with cancer and they never once experienced pain. Had no pain. And they had gone all the way through that process, died, and their body was riddled with cancer. Said, didn't you know? No, never been to the doctor. He never had any issues, never had any pain. At least he never said anything. Let me tell you something, folks. In spiritual matters, we cannot stay here. What should we do then? Here's the third one. We must press forward. Press forward. Move forward. Last night we had Preston at Walmart. We asked, so we're going to take him in. We're looking for him a bicycle with training wheels so he can ride up and down Mimi and Poppy's driveway and learn how to pedal. And so we did the bike thing on there, and he took two pedals, slid off, and he said, I want to sit, look at this toy over here, over there. Let's go back over here and put him back on the bike again, you know. I was wanting to get video, but he wasn't having that, all right? I said, pedal, pedal. So I said, all right, we're not getting too far on this one. Let's go do a tricycle. So we went and got a tricycle. The one that they had was for like one-year-olds or whatever, and he looked like a monster sitting up there on that thing. And I said, all right, let's pedal. I was going to get some video. It didn't happen. All right. Now, Preston was eyeballing, not the tricycle or the bike. He was eyeballing a jump rope that lit up. And he saw it over there. Jump rope, Poppy? I said, I don't do very well with jump ropes. I'm not going there. We get diverted, right? We get diverted. Now, he's going to be 3 in a week. So he's little, and that's what kids do. There's some adults like that, too. Yeah, not very focused. They get easily sidetracked by different things, and that happens in churches, too. We can't stay here, so what are we going to do? We can't go backward. What are we going to do? We're going to move forward for God. We're going to move forward for God. So where does Paul take this? Notice the verses that follow here. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. How does he relate what he just said? He takes his, I can do all things through Christ, and he moves the church over to giving. To giving. And the next verses that follow emphasize this and say, when you give, it's like a sweet-smelling offering unto God. The point Paul was making here in context was that they could do all things through Christ. We can do more than we think. Oh, there are so many needs around the world, and certainly we can't meet every one of those needs as one local church. But we as individuals can grow in our giving. Amen? We can do it. We need to take can't out and realize we're putting a want, a won't in there. But then we can take won't out. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do more in my giving. I can do more in my support of missions. I can do more to help. You know, God is always in the business of stretching His children. Stretching His children. You can do more. Come on. You can do more. I have not seen recently, although they do make adult tricycles. All right? Kevin's got one. Except he doesn't have to pedal his, all right? But, you know, I don't see adults on our street riding around on little kids' tricycles. All right? We would think, ooh, something going on with them, you know. They need to upgrade, you know, move to a bicycle or maybe an adult tricycle, all right? Or maybe do like Kevin and go out and get a big three-wheel motorcycle, all right? Really nice. If you want to see it someday, you need to drive it to church sometime. Now that we got good weather coming up. But yeah, we don't expect an adult to be riding a kid's tricycle. We don't expect an adult to be riding a kid's bicycle with training wheels. But some people are content in church to live that way spiritually. God wants to stretch us. Are you willing to be stretched by God Almighty? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I thank you, dear Father, that you linked it not to just doing things, but you linked it to giving. That the church at Philippi could continue to grow in their giving. Oh, they had been fantastic up to this point when the letter arrived. They'd been faithful in giving to Paul when he was in Macedonia, when he was in Thessalonica. They were a giving people, and they were gracious in their giving. But Paul said, you know, I'm thankful that you've given, and you need to grow in that giving, because then you're realizing that God is receiving the glory and the praise, and it's coming to Him like a sweet-smelling offering. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be stretched, that we would remove the can't and the won't, and put out a can and a will in their place, that we might grow in our giving this year and be able to take on additional support for missionaries and be able to add missionaries in our giving here at Grace Bible Church. Lord, you're the need supplier. You're the one that gives. But we have to want to. And I pray that you would help us to realize that you want us to. We just have to desire your will over ours, and you'll supply the means and the wherewithal to be able to do it. I thank you today for bringing Roxanne Ribeiro to us. I thank you for her desire as a fourth generation missionary to carry the gospel with her and her future husband to the country of Brazil. You've uniquely equipped them. They know the language. They know the people. They have a vision. They just have to want to. And I appreciate that desire. And the same thing is true of us. We have to want to. I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and lives today. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.